everyone, episode 25 is on the way with Alex and DK reunited to look at the Premier League TV games. Any festive spirit Derek may have had is gone. He's on the offensive in his bit. Ben Barrett is crunching some numbers ahead of an ACCA-friendly set of 3 o'clock games, and the EFL boys are back with their best bets. Let's start with the Friday night game at Bramall Lane. Take it away, DK.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you, everyone, for joining us here on this edition of The Punt. Alex Dunn joins me for another Premier League weekend. Good to have you company.
Yeah, thanks. I was rested for the FA Cup, wasn't I? As I am every international break. And I've come back feeling refreshed.
You said to me off air, though, you think this is a very difficult betting weekend, which doesn't necessarily augur well, but stay with us.
Yeah, well, I'm normally pretty useless anyway. And then you add in the fact that I found it quite difficult this week. It doesn't bode well. The TV games are difficult. The non-televised games, mainly at 3 o'clock on Saturday, are banker home wins, or so the betting would make you think.
Okay.
There's some that probably will end up being comfortable home wins, but then there's a few that you think, oh, is there value there? Is there value in Burnley at Chelsea? Is there value at Newcastle at Wolves? It's tricky this week. It really is. So hopefully a winner or two. But if we do get winners, there'll be big prices at least.
We kick things off at Bramall Lane. 8 o'clock kickoff on Friday night as Sheffield United entertain West Ham. Sheffield United in the betting at 19-20. The draw is in the market at 12-5 with the Hammers 16-5 full range of betting opportunities on the William Hill website and on the app, including enhanced odds as well. Things have started well for David Moyes. His tenure underway at West Ham for a second time. And started with wins against Bournemouth and Gillingham. I couldn't have been handed much easier assignments than those two, though. I mean, Bournemouth are in dismal form at the moment and Gillingham in the FA Cup as well, but things have started okay for Moisey.
Yeah, it's been a steady start, hasn't it? They're results that I think Pellegrini could have got, but then he sort of wasn't getting at the same time. So it's difficult to say. There he is, looking a little forlorn. He's not got a great record against sides that start the day in the top eight, which Sheffield United obviously will do because they've been really good so far this season. And Sheffield United at Bramall Lane have been really good as well. But I'm just a bit wary of Sheffield United at this price. The last three home games in the league, they've gone off at a very similar price. It's been even money or a little shorter. And they've only won one of them. They've beaten Villa, drawn with Watford, and lost to Newcastle. This game is exactly in that ballpark as well. And it does make me think, is there a bit of value in the away side? It'll be interesting. Interesting footnote to this game, of course, if you cast your mind back many years, Dave, to the whole Tevez, Mascherano, West Ham, Sheffield United, who goes up, who stays down. Sheffield United went down, and that resentment has well and truly lingered, I think it's fair to say. So there could just be a bit of needle to start with here. Obviously, none of the players involved were involved then for either side. But they're still, you know, with it being Friday night under the lights, there could just be a feisty start to things here. I'm looking forward to it, though. It's one of those games that is difficult to call. I thought there could be value in West Ham, but I think Sheffield United could just edge it. Not the best price, but I think they could nick it.
I'm playing the law of averages in this one. David McGoldrick to score at any time. 35 shots he's had this season without finding a goal. I think he'll get one here. I'm going with McGoldrick to score at any time as a little bit of a flyer in this game.
Yeah, an odd one, given he hasn't scored all season. But he's probably going to score at some point, so why not on this occasion? I think it'll be really, really tight. I don't think there's as much to choose between these sides as the betting would suggest. That may lead you to back West Ham. I'm going to side with a correct score.
Okay.
1-0 to Sheffield United. I think they'll get out the blocks fast, score early, and shut up shop. 1-0 for me.
There you have it. 1-0 for Alex. I'm going with McGoldrick to score at any time in the Friday night football as Sheffield United take on West Ham.
Have you seen this?
Love it.
How did they get a box?
It's overrated up there.
But this Bill Gerrard's from William Hill is brilliant. Three or more goals for us, 12 corners, 4 cards.
What, you can create your own bet?
Yeah, and you get instant odds.
Oh, boys!
At least we're warm.
Make it your bet. William Hill, Bill Gerrard's.
Next up, Saturday 12:30, it's Crystal Palace taking on Arsenal at Selhurst Park. And the latest betting here with William Hill, 16-5 for Palace. The draw is 11-4 with Arsenal in the betting at 17-20. Again, enhanced odds on the William Hill website, and you can build a Your Odds Bet as well. This is intriguing, this one, because Palace have only been beaten by three sides at home all season. Those three sides, Manchester City, Liverpool and Leicester City. So only the best have gone to Palace and got a result, 3 points this season so far. But Arsenal have looked pretty decent since Mikel Arteta's come in. Played well against Manchester United. That maybe says more about Manchester United than it does about the Gunners. And even though they were outplayed by Leeds United in the first half of that FA Cup clash, came back in the second half and played solidly to win that game. Are you optimistic with Arteta? Because Arsenal fans seemingly are.
I think it's a sign of the times that you can be outplayed for a half by a Championship side and come out of it and go, this is good.
That's true.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
They did pick it up in the second half, to be fair. And I think it was more down to how good Leeds were in the first half.
Yeah.
Really, more than Arsenal were, especially.
I think it's the fact that he's getting a tune out of some players that haven't played well in the opening three or four months of the season.
I saw Mesut Ozil do a sprint.
I think he only had 9 touches in that first half.
New year,
Leeds.
New Mesut. Yeah. It was... they got there eventually.
Yeah.
And they were pretty good against Manchester United. And I was actually quite tempted by them today. But they are short. They are terribly short, but they are against a pretty terrible side in Crystal Palace.
Don't you rate Crystal Palace at all?
If you take Wilfred Zaha out that side, I think Palace are doomed, basically.
Okay.
If they sell him in January, which has been mooted, I don't think he'll go, but if he was to, they have to use that money to strengthen. I feel sorry for them on one hand, because they are really badly hit with injuries at the minute. It doesn't help when your captain decides to try and headbutt a Derby player in the FA Cup, and he'll be missing this one as well. They're just threadbare at present. A lot of this hinges on whether Zaha's fit. He was struggling in the Norwich game, got through it, didn't play in the FA Cup. If Zaha's fit, then Palace have a chance, because he can't beat the team on his own, but he can certainly distract 3 or 4 defenders at one time. If he doesn't play, it will be an uphill task for them. But again, do I want to back Arsenal at that price? We highlight every single time Arsenal are away from home that they don't keep many clean sheets on the road. Since we last spoke about them, they actually did keep one at Everton in the worst game in Premier League history. That was absolutely shocking. But this could go either way, because you could see loads of goals in this. Recent head-to-heads have seen plenty of goals as well. Yet, if you went on what we've seen from them in recent outings, you'd say this could be fairly low-scoring.
Yeah, I fancy a low-scoring game. I'm just looking at the prices here on both teams to score no. That attracts me at 6-5. I thought that should be a little bit shorter. Yes, is 8-13 in the betting. I can see this being cagey. Palace are the only side this season that haven't scored more than 2 goals in a game in the Premier League as well. And I think I fancy no on the both teams to score market here at 6-5.
Yeah, I think if Palace are going to win, it'll be 1-0. It'll be a dogged defensive display, which they are capable of. For all that I've said, that without Zaha, that they're nowhere near good enough. They've got grafters in that side that I do like watching. Just quality seems to be lacking. Zaha has got in abundance, and he will be key if he starts here. But it does add up to quite a tricky conundrum, because I just look at that price on Arsenal and just think, law of averages says that's not a bet for me.
Arsenal skinny enough in the market here, as far as I'm concerned. I think, Alex, you agree. I'm going with a draw in this one.
The key is whether Wilfred Zaha's fit. If he is, Palace have got a much better chance than if he isn't. That is there for all to see. I'm going to focus on another Palace player for the bet here, though, and I'm going to take a bit of a flyer.
Okay.
On James McArthur, midfielder. He's a tasty price to score any time. That'd be the recommended bet. If you're going for the absolute sweets, then we'll go for him to score first, because that is a colossal price, and I think it could be quite a cagey game. Arsenal at that price, not doing it for me, so I'll take a flyer. James McArthur does get forward quite a lot from midfield. Hasn't scored yet this season, but this could change here. And he did score against Arsenal last season. So that'd be the pick for me.
Okay. James McArthur to score at any time. Going for the absolute sweets.
Yeah.
I've never heard that one before.
Have you not?
No.
Well, that's what we're going for.
Made me smile anyway.
The absolute sweets, Dave.
Okay. Let's hear from Ben Barrett now, making his punt debut. He's going to have a look at the non-televised games this weekend.
There are 5 Premier League games kicking off at 3 p.m. this Saturday, so let's crunch some numbers to try and find a bet or two. Everton host Brighton, still reeling off the back of a failure to defeat Liverpool's youngsters in the FA Cup. A return to the Premier League, and more importantly, a return to Goodison Park, may breathe a sigh of relief into Carlo Ancelotti. Brighton have just two wins away from home all season. The Seagulls have scored in each of their last six on the road, but have returned to the South Coast with nothing to show for it on four of those occasions. Brighton do start well, having scored the first goal in each of their last three away days, so they may not come away with the win, but against a nervy Toffees side, I'm backing the Travellers to notch first. Leicester have been accumulator boosting cannon fodder for most of the season, and with a Champions League spot theirs for the taking, you could be forgiven for ticking that box again this week. But a five-game unbeaten run from Southampton across League and Cup has thrown something of a spanner in the works heading into Saturday's game at the King Power. Wins and clean sheets over Tottenham and Chelsea have shown that the Saints are more than comfortable against the top sides, but they came up against a Leicester side who not only have an enviable home record, but a scoring record to match anyone. Earlier in the season, the Foxes famously put nine past Southampton at St Mary's, and whilst that kind of rout might be a tough ask again, it's probably fair enough to expect a more reasonable scoreline. Southampton will go and try and frustrate, and with Danny Ings in great goal-scoring form, there's always a chance of a breakaway goal. Leicester could well overpower their opponents in time, so a Foxes win with both teams scoring adds value. Norwich are on an eight-game winless run in the Premier League, but that doesn't quite tell the story of Daniel Farke's side's form. They've scored in all but one of those eight and come out of games against Tottenham, Arsenal and Leicester with creditable draws. Furthermore, in six of those eight, they've scored the first goal, so there's clearly more to the Canaries than the result suggests, and they did hammer Preston in the Cup last time out. Is all of that enough to get something against a United side who have been underwhelming since hammering Newcastle a few weeks ago? I'm not sure. Being back at Old Trafford will comfort Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's men, who are unbeaten at home since August. But Norwich won't go down without a fight. Both teams to score looks good, and Man United win with both teams to score looks nicer. But take Man United to come from behind and get a result for a really tasty price.
Big game this weekend then. Spurs taking on Liverpool at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Can't wait for this one. Spurs are 7-2 to win the game. They draw in the market at 16-5. Liverpool odds on at 7-10. Their record is just astonishing, isn't it? You think of the numbers. 85 points from a possible 87 in the Premier League, stretching back to last season. They've won 11 matches in a row now. I mean, you're running out of superlatives for this Liverpool side. And I think they're an okay price to go to Spurs and win.
They are an okay price. It's so difficult, isn't it?
It is.
Because early on this season, they were scraping past sides, but they are now purring, aren't they? They've improved. They can send out whatever team they want, seemingly, and still pick up massive wins in cup competitions.
I think the fans, they just loved that Everton result, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
And they've been able to stick it to the Everton faithful because they went out there with a very young, inexperienced side. And in the second half in particular, they dominated Everton.
They were really, really good. And like you said, it's rare that you get Liverpool at this kind of price at the minute. So is that tempting in itself? The key in this game is which Spurs turns up. There's been one too many no-shows for me under Mourinho so far. When he came in, he had that impact. And I thought, you know what I mean? They're going to go now. They're going to go and really stick it to some big sides.
Yeah, the likes of, well, Dele Alli was the one.
Yeah.
When Mourinho came in, we said on the punt, he has a habit of improving number 10s when he arrives at a club. It looked like he had that immediate, or he did have that immediate impact,
yeah, did,
with,
yeah,
Dele Alli. And he's gone off the boil slightly. I wanted to ask you about Mourinho, because when he came in, you said this is good for the Premier League, mm-hmm, and Mourinho's a top-class coach. I was of the opinion that maybe his time had been and gone, Mourinho. And with every passing week, it's looking like I was right and you were wrong.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a rarity, wouldn't it? I'd give him a bit of time.
Yeah.
Give him a bit of money if you've got it to spend. Let him build the team that he wants. When it's difficult when I say build, because his building will cost hundreds of millions of pounds.
That's the problem, isn't it?
And Spurs won't spend that. So,
but he's had a significant number of matches to tell whether he's going to have a serious, he's going to prosper with Spurs.
Well,
in the long term.
To a point, but anything that he does this season's a bonus, I suppose. Surely. Mm. Well, Christian Eriksen will be leaving, we imagine.
Yeah.
Rather soon anyway. So there's one gap to fill, if you like, or one slight change to the way that Spurs have played over the last few years. I know that they're sort of changing at the minute, but I mentioned the no-shows. I'm talking the Man U game, the Chelsea game, where they've just underwhelmed, to be honest with you. And Southampton as well, most recently as well. Harry Kane got injured in that game. He's going to miss this game. That is a blow.
It's been a big factor for Spurs in the past.
Massively. But at the same time, if I'm a Liverpool defender and I see Son and Moore lining up against me, I'm not particularly happy because I know that they're going to give me the runaround. They're going to just keep going. And it can be difficult. But we mentioned Liverpool defensively. They've sharpened up recently. I think the last goal that they conceded in England with their first team out was against Everton when they won 5-2 at the start of December. They've played a lot of games since then and they just haven't been conceding goals. So it's going to be a big ask for Spurs just to get on the score sheet here. But I think they will, to be honest with you. I think Spurs can give Liverpool a really good game here. I'm looking forward to this game.
I really fancy Liverpool in this one. I think Liverpool minus one is a good bet on the handicap. I don't believe in Mourinho. Only Norwich have kept fewer clean sheets this season than Spurs. Liverpool to win for me all day long.
I think Liverpool will score. I don't think Spurs will keep a clean sheet, but I think Spurs will score as well. And at the price, something about that Liverpool price that just makes me a little uneasy. They've only dropped points once this season in the league. This might be twice. I'm going for a one-all draw.
Okay, 1-1 for Alex in that game. I'm going with Liverpool minus one on the handicap.
Hey up! Saturday is made for a Bet Boost Acca with five very winnable home games kicking off in the Premier League at 3 o'clock. Chelsea, Leicester, Man U, Everton and Wolves are all worth a look. And if you hit your boost button, the price will get bigger. Best of luck!
On to Sunday's TV games and we kick things off at the Vitality Stadium, 2 o'clock. For this one, Bournemouth taking on Watford. Usually this is a game you just gloss over. Bournemouth-Watford, don't want to watch that. But it's interesting this year because...
I think so,
and I'll tell you why. There's only a point separating them. Nigel Pearson's come in and done a fantastic job with Watford, as he did with Leicester in his reign there. Bournemouth, you can't get rid of Eddie Howe's stock quickly enough now, can you? they are plummeting down the Premier League table. And everyone's always said, listen, Eddie Howe, he's destined for bigger things. He'll go to a top club eventually. But now it looks like he could end up getting fired by Bournemouth.
There's not much of a chat around that, though, is there?
No one's mentioned it, really.
When you look at their results and you think, God.
Well, they're in the relegation zone, aren't they?
They've beaten Man United and Chelsea, the last two wins. But in and amongst that, which, by the way, were outstanding results, both 1-0 wins. Around that, they've been shocking. And it's so hard to side with them here. This is the most difficult game of the weekend for me, punting-wise. Mm. I thought it was an absolute minefield because on all form, if you're just playing form against form, Watford have to be the play. But Watford have only won once away all season. That was at Norwich. Do you really want to be backing Watford at shorter than 2-1?
I must admit, I thought along similar lines as you have here, but it's factored into the price, isn't it? The recent form's completely factored in.
Which almost makes me think, well, Bournemouth at quite a big price now because it's a game that you certainly could see them winning. Mm. It's really, really difficult. I cannot praise this man enough for what he's done at Watford. He came in and they were a mess. And now they are looking pretty strong and have a very, very good chance of staying in the league. Now, there are other sides that have dropped while they have picked up. Bournemouth are one of them. And there's a long way to go still. But from that Liverpool away game where Watford played really well, still lost, they've just been fantastic. Apart from that Tranmere blip. But we'll gloss over that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how you go from 3-0 up against Tranmere and draw 3-3. But they did. But it wasn't. There weren't many first-teamers in that team. And hey, it's the magic of the cup, Dave. So, with that in mind, it's so hard, though, in this game. Do you side with Watford at the price? Do you go with Bournemouth, or do you leave the result out of it? I've thought of this for... This game took me longer than the others did combined. You look at Troy Deeney. He's got a great record at the Vitality, but he's 13-10 to score any time.
Yeah.
It's a bit short. He's 4-1 to score first. That makes a little bit of appeal, to be honest with you. But it's a really, really difficult game. Very, very tricky.
I think we're going to have full-on entertainment at the Vitality. I'm going over 3.5 goals. I think both teams will score in the game as well. I take the result out of it because the recent form definitely factored into the prices. You fancy Watford, but I don't fancy them at the price.
Yeah, the recent form points to a Watford win, quite simply, but I agree. At the price, Watford, who don't particularly travel well, are a little skinny. Bournemouth are a tempting price, but have been practically unbackable in recent weeks. So we'll play the draw, shall we? I think a 1-1 draw is the most likely outcome here. I agree with you, both teams will likely score in this game. I just think it's a game that neither side will want to lose, and I think 1-1 could well be the outcome.
1-1 for Alex. I'm going with over 3.5 goals in the game. One of the better bets of the weekend as far as I'm concerned. Now let's hear from Mr. McGovern and get his fancy for the upcoming Premier League weekend.
Liverpool gave new Everton boss Carlo Ancelotti a stark message in the FA Cup on Sunday. Welcome to under-19 football, Carlo. Liverpool's Bugsy Malone 11 have gone through to the fourth round of the Cup without even going through puberty. The kids who knocked out Everton have been requesting a lot more games in the run-up to Christmas, and a lot more games is exactly what they got. Their parents bought them compendiums. He now faces one of two tasks before Saturday's visit of Brighton: either lift his players or sell them. I've no doubt he'd prefer the latter, but who'd buy them? At least he put a brave face on after Sunday's Anfield humiliation and said his first priority on Merseyside was still achievable, knocking Tranmere off their perch. Well, at least Tranmere under 15s. Brighton are over 3-1 to beat Everton, which suggests someone hasn't been watching Everton closely. My guess is their fans. Man United are 3-1 to finish in the top four, the longest odds they've been since I last wrote them off. United's fall from grace has been so spectacular that Ashley Young has been screaming for a penalty. Poor Ole Gunnar Solskjaer looks as though he's struggling to name his best team, so I'll tell him, mould. United are at home to Norwich, and that's almost a gimme. Don't only be Norwich. At 9-1, the Canaries are tempting. At 12-5, with a goal start, they're unmissable. I've seen some bad bets in my time, and I've backed most of them, but Bournemouth at around 6-4 to beat Watford takes the biscuit. Since the start of November, these are some of the teams Bournemouth have lost to: Newcastle, Palace, Burnley, Brighton and West Ham. In the last 3 weeks, these are the teams Watford have beaten: Man United, Aston Villa and Wolves. They'll beat Bournemouth too. Watford are 9-5. What a way to make a living.
We finish the Premier League weekend at Villa Park as Aston Villa are in action against Manchester City. Aston Villa 14-1 to win this game. The draw 13-2 with Manchester City 2-11. Both teams to score yes is 4-5. No is in the betting at 10-11. City have hardly been watertight away from home. They've conceded 3 goals on 3 separate occasions away from home this season, which gives Aston Villa a sniff here. And as I mentioned a couple of times on the punt recently, Manchester City know the league title is done and dusted. That doesn't mean they're going to completely down tools, but it gives the home side here a little bit of incentive and a little bit of optimism, I think, as well.
To a point, yeah. It's one of those games where, with City so short away from home, we've seen it earlier this season when they went to Newcastle. We saw it when they went to Wolves more recently, that I was looking for something pro-home side because they are just too short. And they're too short again here, but I don't want to side with Villa, I'm afraid. Have Villa got enough to stay up? Yeah, they do. But they need to add goals to their team because Wesley hasn't had a fantastic start to the season. Now
it's because they concede so many.
Well, but this is... Early on this season, with Tyrone Mings and Engels playing centre-half, they look to have a good, solid partnership there. And then injuries hit and they just don't look the same now. Now they've got to come up with something a little bit different. Wesley's now out long-term. Tom Heaton's out long-term. That really won't be helping. And a couple of nasty injuries there as well. So we hope they're all right. But I just think Villa fans cannot be going into this game thinking, let's get at them, for fear of what City could do to them if they do. So for all that City are short, it's pretty hard to see anything other than a City win as far as I'm concerned. That said, it's my job now to find a bit of value, which does make it a little bit more difficult.
I want to mention Riyad Mahrez. He's 13-10 to score any time in the game. I do think Mahrez is worth a punt here, assuming he starts in the match, which you're always guessing with Pep Guardiola and his team selection, which is difficult, isn't it? But I've been impressed with Mahrez recently. At 13-10, I thought he was a decent enough price to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, he's been in decent form as well. The ease with which City's midfielders cut Manchester United open in midweek was alarming.
Well, I thought that might have been, at one point I thought this is going to end 5-0 or 6-0.
Yeah, the fact that Manchester United go into the second leg with a squeak of qualification, and that's all it is really, is crazy, because when they went 3-0 up, you thought this could be absolutely anything.
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, just as a complete, just to step away from this match for a second, yeah. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is not the man for the job. I know it's, everyone says it's what's happening above him with Ed Woodward and the lack of investment in the, well, not investment in the right players basically, and not having a director of football. But I don't think he's the man long term either. I think both things can be wrong with the club.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. What's that got to do with Villa Man City, Dave?
We were talking about Manchester City ripping Manchester United apart. And as a Manchester United fan,
yeah,
you can tell by the accent.
Yeah,
I thought I'd stick it into...
I'll hijack this and we'll talk about Manu for a while. To be fair, you've served me a job because I've got nothing more to say on this game. It's so hard. They're too short, City. Whatever combination of players Man City play in that front five, I suppose it is.
They're going to rip these apart.
I think they'll just outscore Villa, quite simply. I could give Villa a goal if you want to back City and both teams to score. It could be a way in, but it's tricky. Or you can focus on players.
Tough game to assess from a betting perspective then, because we know City is such a short price in the market, but they should win the game. They've had a propensity to concede plenty of goals away from home, so I'm going broken record time here. We say it every time we analyse a City game. I'm going City to win and both teams to score in the match.
It keeps happening though, doesn't
it?
No, that's the logical pick if you are betting outright. If you are betting on player markets, I know you're quite keen on Riyad Mahrez. Mm. I'd side with Raheem Sterling. He'd be the one for me. He scored first when these teams met earlier this season. That was in a 3-0 Man City win. Could be a similar scoreline here, to be honest, although Villa could nick a goal. I'd leave that out of it though. I'll go Raheem Sterling to score first. A fair price, to be honest, in a game that it is quite difficult to extract value from.
Okay, Raheem Sterling to get the first goal in the game. Now it's time for the Football League Naps. We've got a new leader in the Naps table, and it's the man none of us wanted to see at the top. And here he is. Very shortly, we'll start off with Pete Farris, though.
This week's nap is going to be Borough at 23-20. Borough started the season playing better than their results suggested, and then they started playing as badly as their results suggested. But they're taking on a Derby side who've taken just 1 point and one goal on the road since the 2nd of October. Borough have won 4 games in a row, 4 home games in a row. I think things are finally turning around under Jonathan Woodgate. Don't forget, they played really well against Spurs the other day as well. I like opposing Derby on the road at the moment. So Borough, 23-20, my nap of the week.
My nap is third top Coventry City at home to fourth bottom MK Dons. Coventry 6-10 on the outrights, but we can do better than that because I believe there'll be goals in this one. Coventry's last 5 home victories, they've conceded in 4 of them. They're looking for 4 wins straight here, and Matt Godden scored 6 in his last 2. MK Dons have scored in their last 3 games away from home. They're starting scoring goals as well. And the last time MK Dons lost at Coventry was 2015, and they did so by 2-1. I'm expecting a similar scoreline. My nap is Coventry to win, both teams to score 5-2.
Not since November have Crewe failed to score or failed to concede in any match in any competition. They've scored 14 and conceded 9 in just their last 5, and they've scored a league-high 46 this season, a record they share with Swindon. None of the other teams in the top 9 have conceded more than Crewe, yet their goals against record is only one worse than Swindon. Swindon averaging 2.85 goals in their games, Crewe more than 3.1. Both teams to score and over 2.5 when these two meet is 21-20.
Time for the naps then. We've just heard from Pete, Gav and Al. You heard my nap earlier on in the Punch show as well. David McGoldrick to score at any time. Basically, we record this. It's clipped up for online for betting TV and for retail. I slipped that into the retail piece so you couldn't be too disparaging about my nap.
No, people in shops don't want to hear me just slagging off a bet that you like, but I'm going to do it now. A 2-1 is... I'm not saying David McGoldrick cannot score. He hasn't scored this season for Sheffield United. I think he's been a fantastic player for them. The fans love him, and rightly so. What he brings to the team is invaluable. Is 2-1 not just a too short, though?
No, it's not, because he's had 35 shots this season without scoring. I know you could see that as a negative, but I see that as a positive. Only, I mean, Harvey Barnes last year, I think, went... I loved Harvey Barnes as well last year, to score any time. I think he had 37 or 38 shots without scoring, then got one. I said the same thing with Gerard Deulofeu. It's all about timing here. And the timing is right with McGoldrick.
Like a coiled spring.
I'm hoping he starts, because the last time I put up a goal scorer, it was Naby Keita and he didn't play. True. I protected the tenner last week with a draw no bet on Rochdale.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping McGoldrick will score. And I just think, for instance, Lys Moussa in that in the market, it's even money. Time. And when you compare that to McGoldrick, I do think Sheffield United, it's a tough game to assess, but I think Sheffield United might get a couple against West Ham.
I know it's perfectly set up for him to score now that I've rubbished him.
Yeah.
No, I do think he's a good player, and I do think he'll score before the season's out. I just thought a 2-1, it was really short. But that said, I found it really difficult on
that
front
as well. Yeah, well,
you're
chipping away with your light around the even money shot.
Yeah, I just think Brighton, I think their last six games, only one of them has been over 2.5. They play keep ball. Everton under Ancelotti have looked pretty dull.
Yeah.
Quite efficient.
I think that's what before he really gets going, Ancelotti, he wants defensive stability, doesn't he?
Yeah, I can see Everton, which you can see.
Yeah, I can see them keeping a couple of clean... They've got a good run of fixtures, haven't they, in the next month? I can see them keeping a couple of clean sheets.
So I thought about napping under 1.5 was 11-4, but I just think 2.5 is...
You're not brave enough to do that.
10-11. No, not brave enough. So you're with McGoldrick, who likely will score now, and I'll have egg on my face next week. I think 2-1 is just short. But anyway, Middlesbrough for Pete, Gav with Coventry, both teams to score, and Al with loads of goals, basically, Swindon crew.
Yeah,
although, Owen Doyle's gone back to Bradford,
yeah,
which is Al's meat and drink gone. But then he might start scoring for Bradford, although they might sell him, and we can... If they sell him...
Once he moves out of that league, we'll
he's
be
gonna
all
go,
happy, won't
Gav
we?
Can have him soon.
Yeah.
Maybe even Pete.
He's at the top of the table. Well done to Al. 120 quid plus a few pence in profit. So well done to him. Thank you, Alex, for your company as usual. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and watched or listened to The Punt. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And we'll be back next week. Looking forward to it immensely. I had a good show with Al. And hopefully, McGoldrick will score in that game as Sheffield United take on West Ham. If you haven't a bet this weekend, good luck.